Hey everybody, and welcome once again to the Cosmonster.org Charlotte Anime Book Club podcast. I'm your host, Aspardy, and joining me today we have the regular cast, Biscuit Dough and Pepe.
Yosh!
Shoutouts to the cast, woo!
And starting us off with our 30-second recap today, we have Pepe. Take us away, man.
Hi everyone! Okay, on this episode, Yu wakes up and is greeted by another round of trauma and bitching from Death Tycoon. After a few episodes of Yu fed by friends, we sidetrack to see some actual development for the side characters we haven't seen for three episodes. Yu visits Kyosuke and despairs over him hiding in the dark reading manga, grieving over Kumagami. He comes back to be greeted by Nao after a very heartwarming confession scene, and Yu is convinced to travel around the world and rid it of all the X-Men, starting with his own friends. We end the episode saying goodbye to the side characters and to the sister that Yusa never even knew was there.
On that note, what do you think of the confession scene? Let's just jump right in.
Oh, okay.
I loved it.
It was pretty good.
That was great.
It was pretty good.
It was so now.
Yep.
It was great. Mm.
There was...
Did you not like it, Aspie?
I liked it. I still feel like there could have been better build-up for, like, Nao's side of it. Like, we know that it's kind of a one-sided affection
yes.
at this point.
Yes.
Nao was a lot more, like, receptive than I would have expected.
I feel like I really like the idea that her reaction is very, very heavily based upon, as she already said, like, she'll return that if he does as he says he would. Like, then maybe she'll change her opinion, but currently it's not so. So I feel like she's almost using it as a motivator for him to, like, stay strong and go do what he needs to do, and not so much as, like, an actual response.
We know how Nao is. We've seen her, that kind of personality from her ever since episode fucking one. So, yes.
Yeah.
I am, like, 90% sure that she is doing that as a motivator for you. And
while I also am not going to be against, perhaps, let's say in a hypothetical situation, he does go off and then return, I'm not against saying that there's the possibility that it might work. Like, maybe she would actually, like, return that. But I don't think that's her goal, either currently, or maybe she doesn't even know if he can do it.
Definitely not. A lot of people were saying that the romance was forced. I don't know.
I felt like the Nao who just kind of, like, had that quiver in her voice in, like, episode 8. After the whole brother thing, mm-hmm. I felt like that was a more believable, like, breaking down her wall, genuine, maybe not affection, but at least appreciation for you.
Gratefulness towards you.
We still haven't seen Nao break yet.
That's not enough
to
get her to actually have a romance between you, because there is no romantic tension between those two. Well, between Nao and you.
It's all from you.
Like, considering Nao's personality, she's the kind of person that doesn't really seek for that kind of attention, which is why people expecting her to feel that way is just wrong. It's like you're not really understanding Nao's character. So, like,
you have two ways to look at it. There's that way, and then there's the idea of looking at it from, like, she's kind of a lonely character, but at the same time, you have to ask yourself, does she really care?
Yep.
You know, I kind of get the feeling that she's lonely, but at the same time, it's kind of hard to see whether or not she genuinely gives a shit about being lonely. Like, maybe she's happy with that.
Yep. And there are people who are like that.
I feel like things that attest to that would probably be, like, the early classroom scenes, where she looks kind of, I guess, just bored all the time. It kind of comes back to whether, if she looks, or maybe you could think of her as a character that would be interested in some form of affection, or maybe at some point could.
It's definitely with the kind of character that Nao is, it's definitely you'll have to approach affection towards her from a totally different standpoint that we have from regular anime confession scenes.
You definitely wouldn't be able to think of it as like your generic romance. So, like, it's definitely very different. It's almost like kind
that's
of
why
air,
I appreciate
the way, almost like air.
The way
how romance develops in that novel.
The way you confessed to now was very classic anime, and that's why I find it so entertaining that now just shot him down. It's like you just destroyed the stereo.
And their relationship is so different too. It's like now is she's such a bro, you know, in like kind of a literal sense of the term. Like she's just kind of like she's always got used back, and like especially in episode 7, we have this major development. Where she's just like, I'm gonna see this through with you and stuff, and like that's like, it's such a friend. It's like, friend zoned you. But like, you also have to remember that that actual development hasn't happened because of the time leap thing.
Yes.
So like, it's really hard to see where she might actually stand here.
Actually, on that episode, on the thing about episode 7, it has been clearly stated that Nao is doing it because she feels responsible. It's not a kind of I'll stick with you because I'm a bro or something like that. But that's a bit aside. Anyway, like so
I still feel like Nao has some sense of camaraderie.
Yeah, they're definitely a team, but as you said, it's hard to figure out where Nao stands in terms of her emotions.
I think Nao has like a definite amount of empathy in her,
like
where she genuinely cares about the well-being.
All right, guys, so why don't we talk about Yusa and Misa for a bit, because obviously they were much more of a focus in this episode than since episode 3. How'd you guys feel about how they were portrayed here? Biz, why don't you start?
Food everywhere.
Food.
Even the soba,
lots of food. Maida's just on a food feels kick, I guess. I don't know.
Made me hungry, that's for sure.
It was just... I mean... I really liked the presentation of specifically the parting of Misa. The actual television scene... I know Japanese television in general is kind of silly. So I think Pepe has a better view of that than I do.
But I
still found it to be kind of cheesy. And there was like... There's, like, the whole thing where, like, the parents kind of reacted a certain way, and it's just, that whole scene was kind of rough for me, and that's actually the only scene that I didn't like in anime, despite that I like Misa. But then whenever we move over to the Yusa side of things, I felt like that was brilliantly handled, and I felt like that was the actual, like, that was what they were really going for. Like, that was the end goal. They probably could have done something more with that. I feel like it almost kind of like was too sudden. But I still didn't dislike it. The thing about like Jojo and Yusa is that they've been super present, but at the same time, in regards to what they've actually done in the series, it's kind of hard for that connection to be there. And with this being episode 12 of 13, I feel like this was meant to kind of be like your appetizer. I feel like it was presented well. I feel like there's probably a lot of people who did get hit pretty hard by this. And, like, personally, I may have not had this major connection, but I still, like, I thought it was really genuinely presented. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's more to come. I feel like you and Nao are the actual focus here.
Yeah, I'm glad that they did resolve those characters' like own stories. Like, I guess Jojo never got a story in the end. But even he had a bro moment with
you. He was a partner.
Kind of nice.
He was a partner, and I actually really liked that scene, especially even when you was still on the bed. I felt like it was same old silly Jojo, but it felt welcome in this scene, and I actually really
like
that.
You know, he wasn't. You know, he wasn't just trying to be friends with you. He was an actual comrade. Like, that's the only way you can describe Jojo at this point in time. He is the character that if he wasn't in the series, you would have reacted differently, probably.
Mm-hmm. This, I think the theme of this episode was appreciating what you've got. And so, like, the whole idea that Yu has experienced, like, losing everything, and now he sees his brother Shinsuke going through the same thing, and he's kind of reached a point of, like, I can help things here. Like, I've experienced the worst of the worst. I've learned from it, which is great.
Well, I think the majority of the episode really focuses on the idea of your life's going to bring you hardships, and you're going to come to these points where you need to really start to appreciate what you've got. It's very typical Key. But at the same time, it kind of has another little kind of facet to it where it's like, it's the exception of these negatives, and then like also kind of just moving forward with them as opposed to kind of like trying to find a way to rectify it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like instead of Misa trying to find some magical way, to still be alive, she went and did the one thing that she still could do and then was just like, "All right, I'm out." Like,
yeah.
Got to call it.
And I mean,
you got to take the hand you're dealt, you know.
From a storytelling standpoint, it's a very good direction because it definitely gives closure to Misa, who we all know is dead and we all know has to sever her ties somehow, and this was a very graceful way of doing it. I already put my thoughts on the forum about how I feel it was handled from a dramatic point of view, but
I will continue to say that I can't tell whether or not it was a direction standpoint of where they wanted this to hit people extremely hard or not, because
yes, exactly.
Looking at it from just like a regular like narrative perspective, it was really good. Looking at it from something that was supposed to be really like emotionally like powerful and invoking, I think it was there, but it's definitely not something that's going to, you know, make your mind explode or anything. It was very real. It wasn't this like super drama. It was like a melodrama.
It's weak compared to our standards, basically, as Key fans. But which is why on the forum, the first thing I asked is this what the directors wanted? Because I don't know if that's what they wanted. Maybe that's not what they wanted. In that case, then good job to them. They did it really well.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of viewed it as just a resolution of her story arc, and as that, I thought it was really well done. Like, obviously, you watching it, he wasn't crying or anything. Like, I feel like we're supposed to be in Yu's shoes here, and the fact that you didn't cry at any of this kind of shows me that, like, we're not meant to either. We're just meant to, like, you know,
accept. Yeah, especially with how we're in his perspective majority of the time. I felt like the way that he handled it was kind of like, he was just saying, like, you know, you are free now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Go and be at peace.
I really do like the feeling of development in this episode of how far Yu's come from episode one. And I feel like that's a huge thing about this show. It's just, it really felt to me watching this that everything was leading up to this one point where Yu is going to leave on his journey. The entire series is building up to this. And you can see that through all, like, how it's kind of like resolving all of his last attachments to everyone and to head off on his journey. It felt like a very good episode to me.
It's a very different kind of storytelling. I've been feeling this ever since episode 10. A lot of other stories, we have a main goal right from the get-go, and we see how the characters slowly go towards this goal. Whereas with Charlotte, it's a bit different. We're now approaching the crux of the story. The promise to come home has been advertised ever since the series was first teased back in December.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's the main point. But we never knew that was the main point going into the series. We now see that as a main point, and looking back, we can see everything that has led to this point has been very monumental in building up.
I've been saying time and time again, there's a lot of people who have been very unsure of the actual direction. And I've been saying, I've talked to a few people on Twitter about this, it's just kind of like, it's different. But you have to realize that while you may not know what the actual full puzzle may still be, all of the puzzle pieces are fitting together extremely well.
Yes.
Through the entire series, there's just been like, there are major loose ends that I think we'll probably talk about if they're still there in the future. but all of the pieces that are connected, and there are a lot of connecting pieces, have been done brilliantly.
That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah. Because you said there are still a lot of things that just don't quite gel right, but there are a lot of things that do fit really well.
And in regard to all of these ties and how... In regards to all of these ties and how the series has kind of been just developing and growing and growing and growing, there's been just so much development in this series, specifically for you.
That's the whole point, yeah.
That I'm wondering as to what this episode does, what exactly that, like, pertains for the future, right? We have all of these things, and, like, people are talking about his confession to Nao is, like, his death flag. And then we have Misa having to accept her, you know, departure from the world. And then we have kind of, like, how Yusa was basically your... She's, like, seeing these things as they go. And then we just have the basic idea of what it is that Yu is actually saying he has to do... In one episode, it's just kind of like, hang on. Like, that's whenever you start to question, like, where are we going?
Yeah.
Because whenever dude was just like, all right, I'm gonna go take all the powers in the world or whatever, I literally said out loud, what now? So I'm just like, yo.
It's something that I'm not extremely confident that you will succeed in, like, 100% succeed in.
And that's what's got me so excited, though. Because that means I feel like the next episode is going to completely defy what it's been set up for. And with how tightly knit the rest of the series has been, I feel like there's got to just be something major. I know I've said over and over again that you can defy or your expectations can betray you. But it doesn't mean you can't be excited and be interested in something.
So I'm
going to go ahead and go with that.
I'm expecting it not to be a simple he goes around the world, maybe have some struggles, gets everyone's powers and goes home to Nao. That'd be too simple
for me to see that. That'd you be, know what I mean?
It'd it's be so too hard simple. For me to see that happen. If it does happen, I will be disappointed.
Yeah, same here. I feel like there's something else.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's gotta be something. We still have, I mean, I guess, like, we know what the monster is now, but how that plays into things, and if that's going to cause some kind, yeah, I guess so, but, like, how that plays into things, and if that causes some sort of conflict in the next episode, will be very interesting to see.
That's actually something that's been heavily foreshadowed, especially in the opening song, you becoming a monster, mm-hmm. and yep. there being an end of the world or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So, shit's gonna go down. I really don't know what... I don't know what to expect, and that is exciting. I'm with Biz on that one. This could go anywhere.
I want to put it, like...
I think we're gonna get a time skip, personally.
Yeah. Of course you can't have all of that in one episode.
From a prediction purpose, I feel like there's a few things. You can either have a time skip. I think that that's very valid. You cannot have a time skip, and the actual entire plan is a complete failure, and the outcome is something that's completely different. Or the plan goes ahead, and the actual process is hindered by something completely different. Like, I feel like there's... Basically, other than a time skip, and even then, I feel like the outcome would be different, there are a lot of things that I feel like are pointing towards this act... Pepe, you said it on the forum brilliantly.
Yeah.
Even though that's his mission, absolutely nothing points to him actually doing it, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's no saying whether or not it will be a successful thing. And that's the serious question, is the promise to return home.
Will
right?
like, he fulfill that promise?
What's going to happen, you know? Like, the whole series just completely and totally relies on what's going to happen in this episode. And that's what... It's just been filling up and up, and it's about to burst, you know what I mean? Like, we're right there. Like, what's gonna happen? Like, what happens in this episode is going to completely... Instead of having just, like, a segment of a series that actually, like, kind of flavors the whole series, we've got, like, one key point. Like, we've been constantly looking for what this... What, like, the crescendo of Charlotte is, right? And people were like, well, yeah, might be episode 11. And I'm just like, no, I feel like this is a tone shift that's kind of trying to show you what's happening. And it was a major development, but I don't think it's the crescendo. This isn't the actual finale here.
Yeah.
Because the finale of Charlotte is just loaded, man.
It's an excellent setup.
We'll see in less than 24 hours.
Yeah, we certainly will. Tune in next week where we'll finally discuss the final episode of Charlotte. And following that, we'll have one more week dedicated to the Charlotte Anime Book Club anthology.
Oh, okay.
Where we'll be inviting members to share voice clips of themselves talking about their experience of Charlotte. And basically, I think the question I want to pose is, what did you gain from Charlotte? Because, you know, there's definitely something to be gained from this series. It's obviously not a perfect series. I'm not saying it is, but I feel like it's important that we take a moment to acknowledge what this series has given us. And I think that will all come to a head in the next episode. I don't think any of us can say for certain what Charlotte has given for us yet.
I feel like I have a very solid idea, but I, like I said, I can't actually write it all out until I see what the actual conclusion is. Whether or not I can actually form it around what I think might be a possibility. Maybe I'm full of shit. I don't know. But we're just gonna see what happens, man.
Yeah. So that next episode will be airing in a few hours, so make sure you catch it. Thanks for joining us once again, guys. I'm your host, Aspiety, and joining me today we have Biscuito and Pepe. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
The word gravy by itself was used prior to any attestable use of gravy train to characterize cushy situations. It's a shortening of the phrase riding the gravy train, rather than train referring to a number of individuals going the same way or a way of teaching people. The idiomatic, an occupation or any lucrative endeavor that generates a considerable income whilst requiring little effort and carrying little risk. Or, in politics, it's a gorging on luxuries and someone else foots the bill. Discussing the etymology of gravy trains. Kazumatsuri.org. But with the gravy train, where's the mashed potatoes? Because... Is there like the tater station where the gravy train has to dock? It's like a drop. I don't know. I'm hungry.